Is Daf Chav Gimel. We are really at the end here. So the Gemara begins for top line that we read the Mishnah yesterday. So the Gemara says, or asks, my time, what's the reason for what? So it's unclear what the question is here, but the way many understand it, what's the reason why we tie his hands up on the beam and then stands behind him and tears clothing? So answer to the Gemara, Mishum Nikla, the Pasuk says in Nikla that he should be disgraced, Lashem Bizayim, that's part of the disgrace of ripping his clothing. As we saw yesterday, and you're going to see a lot today, the Indian of the lashes, it seems to be more about the bizyonos than it is about the pain. So that's why the heter of if the guy goes to the bathroom or something, that seems to be a really very strong point here of the lashes. So the Gemara then says, Amar of Sheishis Mishum Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Minayin the Ritzuashi Shel Ego. How do you know that the leather, the strap, the whip needs to come from a calf? The pasuk says, Arbaim Yakenu, that's pasuk about the 40 lashes, and Vesamech Le, right next to it, it says, Losach Som Shor Bidisha. Shor is a grown-up cow, it's an ox, it's same family at least. So therefore, an ego is a small ox or a small calf, so you use a leather from the ego. So then, the Gemara says, Amar of Sheishis again, Mishum Rabbi Eliezer ben Azariah, Minan Li Yevama, Shenafel Lefnei Muka Shchin, She'en Chosman Osa. How do we know if a Yevama, her brother now, who's going to perform Yibum on her, and he's a Mukashchin, and he's very unattractive to her, we don't close her mouth, we let her speak and say, I'm not interested, we don't muzzle her, if you will. Dichsev Losachsom Shurbadisho, don't muzzle an animal, we're not calling a woman animal, obviously, but the idea of Losachsom here, the Samichle Kiyashu Achim Yachdav, the very next pasuk talks about the mitzvah of Yibum. So if there's a mitzvah of Yibum, we don't apply Losachsom in that case, we're not allowed to muzzle the woman if she wants to say that she's not interested. Then Amar Sheshes Mishum Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Kol Mevazes Moadim Kilu Oved Avodah Zarah. One who disgraces Moadim is as if he's worshiping Avodah Zarah. Which Moadim are we referring to? So the Rivan writes two lines down Chol Hashem Moed. Others say it's actually referring to Yontif. So what's the machlokas here? So many say it's machlokas whether or not you paskin the Chol Hashem Moed is an Isser Deraisa or an Isser Midirbanan. Of course, the concept is Deraisa, but is the Isser Malacha Shebo, is that Deraisa or Derbanan? So the Sugin Chagiga Dafit Ches has a discussion back and forth. It's an Asmacht, it's a Kasav Amashal Chachamim. So the Pasuk handed to the Chachamim. So the debate is that does that mean it's a Deraisa? But the details are Chachamim decide how to put the details, meaning Davar She'avid, Tzarech Yontif are details, but it's a concept deraisa, or do Paskin Lamaisa, the whole idea of Melachan Chol Moed is only in Midirban, it's in Esmach to Ba'alma. So the Rivan who says that Ki'ilu Mivaze Avod Avodah Zarah, he says it's Chol Moed because he understands Chol Moed to be an Isser deraisa. Those who say that Chol Moed is an only in Isser Midirbanan, they have to reinterpret the Sugi here and say Moed is referring to Yontif. Can't be referring to Chol Moed because Chol Moed is only in a Midirbanan concept. How does the Gemara know again this concept that Kol Mevazes HaMoadim is Kilo Oved Avodah Zarah? So the Pasuk says, Elohei Maseich Lo Saaseh Lach, don't make any idols, Avodah Zarah. Then it says next to it, Eschag HaMatzos Tishmor. So we see there's a connection of Avodah Zarah and keeping the Moadim, whether it's Chol Moed or whether it is Yontif itself. So then the Gemara says another statement in the name of Sheshis, quoting Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Kol ha-mesaper lashon hara, v'chol mekabel lashon hara, one who speaks it, one who listens and accepts it, and kol ha-meid edus sheker, one who gives false testimony, all these ra'i la-shlichu l'klavim are worthy of being thrown to the dogs. D'chsev l'kelav ta-shlichun oso, it should be thrown to the dogs. And in Samech Lai, next to it, it says, lo sisa shema shav, don't give the false testimony. Karibay nami, lo sashi, don't spread it. Don't say Lashon Hara, which also would mean the other, and don't receive it. So within this pasuk, it has three different Isurim, and next the pasuk of Lekel Tashrichin Osel, throw it to the dogs. Fine. Then the Gemara says, Shtechat Ritzuos. So we said in the Mishnah that there were two straps of calf, and then we said then there were two other pieces of leather that were made of a chamor. So Tanish HaChamor, why you use that of a chamor? Kididarish Hahu Gilila Aleh. There's a certain person living in the Galil, quoting the Rav Chista. The following idea, based on the pasuk in Yeshayahu, Yada Shur Kunehu, a shur knows its master, its owner, and the chamor avos beilav, and also the chamor it gets fed by. It also knows who its master is. Yisrael lo yada, but Yisrael doesn't know. So therefore, we see this yid who doesn't listen to the halacha. So he's getting lashes. So we're using a leather from a shur and leather from a chamor that they, the animals, know their own master, and you don't. That's the Musar Haskil we're giving to the one getting hit. So Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Yavo Misha Makir Avos Balav, the one who recognizes who feeds him, who gives him the trough, And it's going to hit the one who doesn't recognize his master, who doesn't recognize who's feeding him. So then, Yad Tefach, the Mishnah told us that the handle of the whip was a tefach long and a tefach wide, like a little box or something you'd hold on to it, the big handle. So the Gemara says, Amar Bai says, Shma Mina, Kochav Vechad Lepum Gavi Avdinale. So also the length of the strap, we said it had to go where it hits the guy in the front, hits his stomach. So now some guys are tall, some guys are short. So that means each individual who's getting hit has to have a separate leash, or rather separate whip, that's going to reach the stomach. So a tall guy needs a longer whip to hit him, and a shorter guy needs a shorter one. So Amar Le Rava, Rava says, MK Nafish Lehu Ritzuas Tuva. That means you need a lot of different Ritzuas in the base, in the Bezdin. There is a halacha, we saw this in the Sugyas in the beginning of Sanhedrin, that the Bezdin has to have all the clay Dayanim or something like that. And which includes the shoe for chalitza, and includes a whip here. And there's a couple other things, I'm not remembering what the other ones are. But they need the Kli Dayanim, the Gemara says. It's brought down in the Sma. The Sma in the beginning of Shulchan Aruch, and Nechoshim Mishpat asks why it wasn't brought down in Shulchan Aruch. I think, even though it's not Lemaisa, I think the Sma says it's still needed. That's part of the prerequisite of being a Bezdin. You need to have those like weapons available. Even though we don't implement them, you need to have it. And he's bothered why this Shulchan Aruch doesn't bring it down. But again, one of the things you need to have is this whip. So Abaye says you need to have many different sizes, like many different like screwdrivers you need, and different size for the, because everyone's a different height here.
How long
so
is the whip supposed to be?
We said to the stomach, the Mishnah said yesterday.
So it's from a distance?
From behind, and hit the guy's stomach.
Hit the guy in the back, hitting him from the back on his back, and should wrap around his shoulders
exactly.
To hit his stomach.
Exactly. So now each person has a different size, of course. A guy is fat, a guy is skinny, a guy is tall, a guy is short. So Rava says, rather by says, you have to have multiple types of whips, depending on how high. You have to measure the guy and measure which whip to take out. And Rava says, that's crazy. And every person's different. You have so many, but it's too much for the Bezdin to hold on to. Al-Amar Rava says, Avaksa Islay. There is some type of a bow or knot. Kibai Mikterbei, Kibai Marperbei. Sometimes you have to tighten it, make it shorter, and sometimes you have to loosen it to make it go longer, and it's really one that had this little mechanism to lengthen it and shorten it. So Malkin also, then the Mishnah says you hit him, once on the front and twice on the back. So the Gemara wants to know, how do you know this halacha to be the case? Amar Rav Kana, Damakra, Vipilo Hashofet, Viku Lifanov Kede Rishasa. Vipilo, we're going to see that the Shofet bends him down, and you hit him Lifanov in front of him, Kede Rishasa. What does that mean? Bimisbar, Risha, Bimisbar. Risha Achas Milifanov. Only one Risha, only one hit is on the front of his body, and Shte must be, and the Shte Rishayos Me'achar must be the other two, because everything's viewed as multiples of three in regards to Malkos. So if one's in the front, we can learn from there, the two must be in the back. So then, Ein Malkin Oso V'chule, Gemara says, Amar Rav Chista, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Minayin L'Ritzua Shehim Muchpelas. How do we know that you have to fold over the whip like we saw in the Mishnah? Shenemar says, V'hipilu, Hipilu they, it's a plural, you're bending them, as if you're hitting using multiple whips here. So Gemara says, don't you need for this very pasuk itself telling us you have to bend him forward? Gemara says imkein lichtov kra yatiu. Maybe they should say you should bend him. Why lashon vipilu? My vipilu shmamina tarti. We're learning from the word vipilu two different drushes. One drush is you bend him; he's tilted while he's receiving the lashes. And number two is you use multiple whips, meaning you fold them over to have them multiple. So then the Gemara quotes the Mishnah, Hamake, Make Biyada. This is what you were asking yesterday, Moshe, about how strong do you hit? So you hit him with his hand. So the Gemara describes what type of strength is being used to hit the guy. Tanu Rabbanan, Ein Mamidin Chazonim El Chasire Koach V'Yisire Mada. You have to have people who are not the wisest of individuals. The guy who's weak, I'm sorry, all the way around, sorry, the weaker guys who are the nerds. Here he holds the weak guys, and the guys who are smart. That's the guy. So some very puny guy will be doing the whipping. According to Behuda, he said, no, afilu chasir mada v'yaseir koch. No, you could use a big, buff football player, a guy who doesn't know much and is very strong. That you could use anyone you want. There's no criteria of who's going to be doing the whipping. So what's going on? What's the understanding? What's the machlokas here? So Amar Rava, kivase de Rabbi Yehuda mestaver. Yehuda makes more sense. Dichsiv lo Yosef pen Yosef. The Bible says, don't add on. Lest you add on. It sounds like there's a ha-amina that the guy might add on. So why would the guy add on more than the guy was given 12 lashes. He could accept 12 lashes. So why would the guy give him 13? So yeah, if you understand, bishlama makes sense, chasir mada, a guy who is not very smart, so he's not account properly, or he's not paying attention, Hainu Ditzarach Lazir. That's why the Pasuk has to tell me, make sure, Lo Yosef, don't add any more. So that's why Rabbi Yehuda allows anyone's allowed to be doing it, any, no matter whether the guy is a smart guy or he's a fool. If you say you're only allowed to have individuals who are intelligent, do you have to warn the guy not to give more than 12 lashes? He knows that. He knows how to count, and he's a smart guy. So it must be that anyone is allowed to be doing the lashes, giving the lashes. Rabbanan say, no, ain mizars and elo mizuras. No, we have a concept throughout Shas, many places we say, we only give zrizas, we really give warning to those who are going to accept it. Warning a guy who's not going to pay attention is worthless. It's no point in doing that. But a guy who's going to accept it, a guy who's a smart guy, you warn the smart guy also. They're the ones who's going to accept it. So just because the Torah gives you a warning doesn't mean the guy giving it is a dumb guy. So therefore, only a smart guy who's aware and could count is the one giving the malchus. Gemara says, Tana kishehu magbia b'sheyadav. When he lifts up his hand to give the whip, he lifts up both hands with a lot of force. But kishu makeh, when he goes down to hit him, makeh b'yadav achas, he only comes down with one hand, much softer. This way it doesn't come from him. So really more like gravity. You kind of lift your hands up, then you let your hand drop. It doesn't sound like a very, very strong whip. That's what it sounds like from the presentation here. You just kind of let it drop with gravity, which probably shouldn't hurt much. It hurts something, but not as much as you would have thought. So then the Gemara quotes to the Mishnah, Kare Kare, is the one who reads the Psukim. We said the Psukim we read. So Tanya Rabbanan, the Brice explains, HaGadol Shebedayanim Kare, the one, the greatest one among the Dayanim, he's the Zocha, he's Mechuba to read the Psukim. Hasheni, the next one in line is Mona, he counts the lashes, that's one, that's two, that's three. Vashlishi Omer Kayo, the third guy, he says, okay, now hit. So what happened to the Gadol is reading the Psukim. Number two is saying, now is ready for the first lash. So then the number three guy says, okay, hit. And Bizman Shemake Meruba, so when there's a lot of makos, the guy, let's say, deserves 39, so marich, then you have a longer one, meaning the one saying the psukim should extend it, should say the very slowly, v'hu rachum, and the one in shemakim u'etis, when it's a very short, the guy only gets 12 makos, let's say, mekatsu, then you say very, very quickly. You want to try to have the psukim finishing coinciding with the finishing of the malkos. So the Gemara says, v'ha anantan, doesn't the Mishnah say, chozer l'tchilas ha-mikra? So doesn't the Mishnah say you don't have to have them finish at the same time? The Mishnah says you say it at the regular pace. If you happen to finish early, so go say it again. So we're not trying to have it exactly finish at the same time, the Malkus and the Pesukim. So the Gemara explains, no. Mitzvah Latzamtim, the ideal way to do it is have the Pasuk go the same pace as the Pasuk so that you finish the Malkus at the same time. That's the Mitzvah. That's ideal. V'lo Tzamtim, if you're not able to calculate properly, so then the Mishnah is telling us, b'di'eved, choze l'tchilas ha-mikra, then you should, again, you stopped early, he's got another 6 malchus to go, so then you should go back to the beginning of the pasuk, so therefore there should always be psukim being recited while he's receiving his malchus. Then the Mishnah says, Tanur Rabbanan, rather the Brisa says, Makni Rabba, ainli ala Makni Rabba, I don't know if he gets a lot of Makni Rabbas, what's this pasuk talking about? This pasuk is the context of saying that lo Yosef pen Yosef, arbam yakenu, give him 4, but lo Yosef, don't give more, pen Yosef, lest you give him more. Lakoso al eila makaraba, to give more than what he was supposed to. So makaraba is only when the guy was evaluated, he could accept 39 malchus. So he says, don't give more than 39. If you give more than 39, then you're responsible. But how do I know? Let's say, it's a case, the Gemara says, maka muatas minayin. Let's say the guy was only evaluated as 12, and I gave him 13, maybe there won't be an Isser there. Maybe only when there's a Makarab of 39 would there be an Isser Lo Yosef. But if there's a Makar Muetis, let's say like 12, maybe there wouldn't be an Isser of Lo Yosef. So Tam Lomer and the other, it says Lo Yosef. Don't add, no matter what. Never add on, even if it's a Makarab, Makar Muetis. So then if it's really across the board, there's always the Isser, no matter if it's a Makarab, Makar Muetis, ask the Gemara in Cain then, why then Tamalom or Makaraba? Why is Makaraba telling us anything? So the Gemara tells us Makaraba is telling us not how many Makas. Limeid aharishonos shein Makaraba, that the first ones are considered Makaraba. That means, according to the Rivan, shenitein lahakoso balkarcho, you could give it against his will. You force him to do this. So there's a number of girsos here. Some say bikol kolcho, some say with all his strength. Now, with all his strength, the problem is, the Ritva says, that goes against what we saw above, that you don't do kol kolcho, you just let your hand kind of drop. Now, Baal Karcha also sounds strange because, of course, it's Baal Karcha. Who would willingly accept the Malkos? So there's a bit of a discussion showing what exactly Makaraba here means, but it's not referring to the quantity of the Malkos being brought. It's referring to the quality or the way and manner which is giving. So let's just accept the Rivan's gears in front of us, that you give it Baal Karcho Makaraba, you force him to accept the Malkus even though he's not willing to accept them.
Rivan has another gears also on the what you're doing with the Makaraba versus Makam. What does, if it sounds like the Sifri, first he brings like the way he's taiched, and then he says that it's totally on, did you give him a lot of extra lashes or only give him one extra lash?
How many extra ones did you give? One versus two, let's say. Okay, I see that. Okay, fine. So then the Gemara says, "Niskalki v'chulei." So Tanya Rabban the Brisa tells us, "Echad ish ve'echad isha birei v'lo b'mayim divrei Rabbi Meir." So Rabbi Meir doesn't have any distinction between man and woman. If they're birei, so everyone gets off the hook. That's embarrassing enough. And if it's b'mayim only, so then neither one would be off the hook. That sheet is Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda Omer ha'ish. Birei va'isha b'mayim, like we saw in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda Shita, that a man, if he only birei, will he be off the hook? If it's only b'mayim, he won't be off the hook. But an isha, even b'mayim, she'll be off the hook. And chachamim omrim echad ha'ish ve'echad ha'isha bein birei bein b'mayim. So a man and woman, they're always off the hook, whether it's rei or even mayim, even the ish would be off the hook. So we have a few different permutations here. So the Gemara says, wait a second, does Rabbi Yehuda really hold that way? V'hatani, doesn't Rabbi Yehuda say? Rabbi Yehuda Omer Echad Ha'ish Ve'Echad Ha'isha Birei. We just said above that a Rabbi Yehuda holds that an Isha is off the hook Afil B'mayim. But this price says she's off the hook only Birei. So which one does Rabbi Yehuda hold like? Gemara says Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Shneim Shav Birei. What Rabbi Yehuda is saying is men and women are equal with regards to Rei. But yeah, there's a difference. Women are also off the hook B'mayim. So there is no contradiction. Gemara then says Amar Shmuel Kaftu the rats mibezdin pater. Shmuel holds that if they get tied up and then he's able to escape somehow, he's actually off the hook before receiving any lashes. So Meisiv, the Gemara has a problem with this shita because the Gemara says that kala bein birishona bein bishnia potinoso. So let's say kala, which means that they went to the bathroom birei, so then they're pater. Whether or not they received any lashes or didn't receive any lashes, so then they're going to be off the hook. So then. But it said, "Lifsaka Ritsua Bishnia Potinoso Brishona Ain Potinoso." This is what we need right now. If let's say it's about to hit, and then somehow the whip snaps and it's not able to work, you have to get a new one. So the halacha is, if there was Rishona, if he never hit the guy, so then you're not off the hook. Ain Potinoso, it doesn't work. But if you hit him once, and then by the time he's about to hit the second time, then it breaks the whip, he is Potinoso, we are off the hook. So the Gemara wants to know, if it broke, even Berishona, he should be off the hook. Amai, leve kiratz. When the guy runs away, before ever getting any of the lashes, he's off the hook. So the guy's now tied up, and they're about to hit him for the first time, and then it breaks, it falls from his hand, something happens, shouldn't he be off the hook also, just like running away? And the Gemara says he's not off the hook unless he gets hit once for the breaking of the whip. So the Gemara answers, hasam ratz, hachalo ratz. There's a difference. There, the guy ran away. That's embarrassing. The guy was a little, he was a wimp. I'm not calling him, but I'm just saying he was a wimp that he wasn't willing to take anything. It was embarrassing for him. He's like, I can't handle this. He kind of squirmed out of the rope and then ran off like a little girl, if you will. But in this case, the guy was standing like a strong guy. And he didn't get any embarrassment. He was completely fine and willing to take the hit. And before he received any hit, it broke. That would be, there's no embarrassment for him. He was willing to accept it. And therefore, he wouldn't be off the hook until he gets one of the lashes and kind of squirms like in pain. Without that, there's no embarrassment and he won't be off the hook. That's the difference.
Wouldn't he be better off being a wimp?
Well, could be, yeah. You have to, you know, an actor would be very good to get the guy off the hook, sure. So then the Gemara says, Tanur Banan, Amdu Lichashayilke Kala Potinoso. Let's say they assess that, you know, this guy can handle some lashes, but we know the moment he gets hit, he's going to be locked. He's going to go to the bathroom right away. That's going to happen after the first hit. So the halacha is potinoso. So that's actually a ptur. You know, the guy just really can't hold on to his bowel, so he's going to be off the hook if we know that it's going to lead to that happening right away. But let's say, l'chshiyatz mibezdin kala, let's say after receiving it, he's not going to immediately have to go to the bathroom, but we know the moment he walks out, when no one's around, he's going to be able to, he can't hold his bowel anymore. So then he will malkus. So then he will have to accept the malkus. Below, oh, not only that, El afilu kala b'tchila malkus. So let's say he's able to accept some malkus, and only after a few malkus in will he then get. Will he go to the bathroom? So then malkus as well. Shenemar, it says v'kau v'gomer v'nikla v'lo shalaka kvar b'bezdim. So the idea is that the only person who's going to receive malchus is a person who is only going to be embarrassed afterwards. But if a guy is going to be embarrassed before even anything gets started, so then, sorry, all the way around. Let's say the guy gets lashes just from walking into Bezdin, that's not actually off the hook. Has to be a person who gets embarrassed from the malchus, not embarrassed and going to the bathroom before the malchus. So these are the, just to make it clear now. A guy who walks into Bezdin and is going to go to the bathroom, that doesn't exempt him. If the guy we know from the moment he gets hit will result in him going to the bathroom, that will exempt him. If the guy's going to get hit a few times and then go to the bathroom, that won't exempt him. And the guy gets malchus and leaves Bezdin, that won't exempt him either. So it's kind of some, it's a little counterintuitive that the guy goes to the bathroom beforehand, he's not off the hook, but only if he gets, only if after receiving one will he go to the bathroom, only then will it really result in his patur.
We said before that if it was Bein Berushia, Bein Bishniya, Pochino, so that in other words, even if it was at the initial point, that was enough to pater. And the Rivan says over there, he didn't hit him yet with the Rishona, he just lifted his hand to hit him, and that causes him to go to the bathroom. That also a pattern. So it's like, he doesn't even have to get hit. He just, he has to have been standing to prepare like, to get hit. And then the thing had to get picked up.
That alone. Right. Yeah, pachet alone, right? Just, okay, fine. Mishnah says, I don't know how to describe that, but whatever feeling that is, that's a scary feeling. Mishnah says, kol chayav krisel shalaku niftru yidei krisasam. The lach is, anyone who's chayav karis, if he receives lashes, then he's actually exempt from kares. It's going to exempt the person from kares. That when you embarrass a person, after receiving lashes, he's like your brother, and he no longer has a chi of kares on his head. Divrei Rabbi Chanani ben Gamliel. The Amar Rabbi Chanani ben Gamliel. Further, ma im ha'over aveira achas notan afshol aleh. A person who violates an aveira and he loses his nefesh. So ha'ose mitzvah achas achas kama v'kama. When a person does a mitzvah, how much more so should a person then regain his neshama, his nefesh back? Rabbi Shimon Omer Mimkoma Hulamad, it's learned from this very source of kares. Because Shinemar says, V'nichosu anefashos ha'osos, you're going to cut off the lives of those who are involved in these various averos, arayos, listed in the Pasuk in Achrimos. The Omer, it says, further, Asheyasa osam ha'adam v'chai behem. Afterwards it says that one who doesn't really do it, he's going to live from this. So ha kol ha yoshev velo avar avera, one who sits and does not do an avera, yoshev v'batel, nosin lo schar k'osei mitzvah. So even though he's not doing anything, it's ashe yaseh, not doing anything is considered yaseh, it's as if you are doing something. So a non-action, not doing bad, is actually as if you're doing good. So that's his understanding. Rabbi Shimon bar Rabbi Omer, Harei Omer, it says, Rak chazak lebilti echel hadam. Be careful, strengthen yourself, overcome the ability of eating, the iser of eating dam. Kedam ho nefesh, because blood is the source of all nefesh. So he says, Ma im hadam shenafsho shel adam katsum imanu. Blood, which everyone's disgusted, who would want to drink blood? And yet, haporish imanu mekabel schar, and if one holds back, gets schar. So gezel v'arayel shenafsho shel adam misaveh, lehen, u'mecham dasen. These are areas which people are very much drawn towards. Haporish man, one who separates from these isurim, ha'achas kama v'kama, how much more so should they receive schar, and more schar for separating from things that people actually are interested in having. She yizak alo, that he should get zuchus for himself, l'dorosov, to generations, l'doro doros, ad sof kol doros, for all generations to come. Rabbi Chanani ben Akasha, Omer, Ratzakaz Rech, L'zakaz Yisrael, l'fikach, he wanted to, Kaz Rech wanted to give zichuyos to Klai Yisrael, and l'fikach, therefore, Hebrew Lem Torah Mitzvahs, he wanted to give him a lot of Torah and a lot of Mitzvahs, even certain Mitzvahs that will never be Shaykh. Remember the Gemara Sanhedrin said there are a few cases where things you never even, never happen, never will happen. Why? Because Kaz Rech wants to just give us more opportunities to gain schar and zichuyos. Shinemar, Hashem Chafetz Laman Tzidko, Yagdil Torah V'Yadir. Hashem wants, he desires that we should have Tzidkos and we should have more Yagdil Torah, more learning. V'Yadir, it's going to be great for everyone. It's fine. The Gemara now says, Am Rabbi Yochanan, Halo Chalukin Alav Chaverav Al Rabbi Chanani Ben Gamliel. The friends of Rabbi Chanani Ben Gamliel argued on him. So Amar Rav Ada Bar Ava Amar Bei Rabbanan Tanin. The Mishnah tells us that Ein. Again, Rabbi Chanani Ben Gamliel is the one who said that you get exactly one Chayv Kriso Shelaku or Pater. Person who's Chayv Kares for doing a certain Isser and receives lashes, he's actually off the hook. So they argue how. The Mishnah tells us, the Mishnah in Maseches Megillah, Ein Bein Shabbat Le Yom Kippurim, Elish is as you don't be day all them is as you don't be hakaris, that Shabbos and Yom Kippur are completely equal with the exception of the punishment. Shabbos is a iser, rather an onesh be the adam, namely skila, and the onesh of Kippurim is kares be the shemayim. So v'imis, if it's really true that Yom Kippur, that anything with kares could also have malchus, it should really be edv be the adam, because kares of Yom Kippur could also be the adam by receiving lashes. So from the fact that the Mishnah doesn't say that, it must be that this Mishnah Megillah doesn't hold that Malkos can be applied to a Chiv Karis. So Gemara says, Rav Nachman Omer, Hamani Rabbi Yitzchak. The Mishnah is authored by, the Mishnah Megillah that is authored by Rabbi Yitzchak, Damar Malkos Bechavi Krisos Aleka. Rabbi Yitzchak argues, you're right, there's a machlokis in the Mishnayos. Rabbi Yitzchak Omer, Chavi Krisos Bechlal Hayu. V'lama Yatzas Kares Bachoso. That all the Parshios of Arayos, tis at the end, v'nichrasu, that this kari is applied to all the aforementioned arayos in Parshat Achrimos. So then why do they single out in the pasuk that kari is b'achos? So we already know, achos is one of the arayos. Of course it gets kari. La'duna b'kari's v'lo b'malkos. To emphasize the point that it only gets kari and there's no substituting for kari. Malkos doesn't substitute. So the Mishnah Megillah is Rabbi Yitzchak, who says there is no malkos for kari. But the Mishnah here, Rabbi Hanani ben Gamliel, holds that there is Malkos on Kari. So there's a Machlokos Tanaim Eina Hanami. If Ashi says there is no Machlokos, everybody agrees, when everybody, I guess Rove, everyone, there's certainly Rabbi Yitzchak exists out there. But it sounds like Stam Mishnah here, not Stam, but it sounds like Rove would hold like Rabbi Hanania. And even the Mishnah Megillah, Ein Bein, holds like Rabbi Hanania. How so? Afilu Tema Rabbanan Ze Iker Zidoni Bide Adam Ze Iker Zidoni Bide Shemaim. Granted that Yom Kippur, which has Karis, can have Bide Adam, can have Malkos, but that's not the Iker Onesh. The Iker Onesh of Kari, of Yom Kippur, is Karis Bide Shemaim. So the Ein Bein Mishnah Megillah was really interested in the Iker Onesh. But again, Ein Achanami, Malkos can substitute for the Karis. Gemara now says, Amr Rav Adi Bar Ava, Amr Rav Halacha, the Psak is Ki Rabbi Hanani ben Gamliel. We passing in that way that a Ki of Karis can receive Malkos. Amr of Yosef Man Salak Leila Vas of Amr. Who's going to go up to Shemaim and tell them? Well, that's a strange thing. Karis isn't Shemaim. So who's going to go tell Shemaim, you know, exempt this guy because we gave him Malkos down here? It's a very strange thing. So the Gemara says, Amr Le Baye. Elahad Amar Rabbi Shuben Levi Shlosh Dvar Masa Bezin Shamata Viskimo Bezin Shamala Ayadam Saman Salak Leila Vasav Amar. So Rabbi Shuben Levi says there are three things that we did down here, and then up in Shemaim they accepted. Who went up to tell them in Shemaim? Who went up to and came back down to tell us here? Ella Krai Kai Dashinan Hachnai Krai Kadashinan. Right, we don't know. No one goes up to tell them, and no one comes down here to tell us. But they're psukim that are indicating to us that was accepted in Shemayim. So here as well. So we're darshing psukim, and we know that Bezdin Shalmala is going to exempt the guy from Karis based on the psukim that we're darshing. Gemara now says, Guf Amr Beshubin Levi Shlosha Dvarim also Bezdin Shalmata Viskimu Bezdin Shalmala Ayadam. There are three things that Beshubin Levi said that Bezdin Shalmata did down here, and it was accepted in Bezdin Shalmala. The Elohein Mikra Megillah, the reading of Megillah, Shela Shalom B'Shem, greeting someone with using Hashem's name, Favas Meiser, and the bringing of the Meiser. Rashi explains during the times of Ezra, the Levim didn't return back to Eretz Yisrael, so he gave them a curse, and really a penalty, that when you bring Meiser Rishon to the base of Migdash, that the Kohanim would split them with the Levim. It's no longer exclusively to Levim, Kohanim will have to share. So that was a third example that was accepted by the Beis Din Shel Mala. So Gemara goes one by one, how do we know? Mikra Megillah, who says that they accepted up in Shemayim the reading of the Megillah? Dechsev Kimu Vekiblu, with that Mekayim, you fulfill it, and it was accepted. Hayehudim, Kaimu Lamala, Mashi Kiblu Lamata, they accepted in Shemayim that which was accepted down below. So that's why Mikra Megillah is something we read. V'shela Shalom B'Shem, how do we know greeting someone with Hashem Hashem is also was accepted by Shemayim? Dechsev Hinei Boaz Ba Mi Beis Lechem, Boaz was coming from Beis Lechem. V'yomi says, L'kotzmi said to the people working in the fields, Hashem Yimachem, Hashem should be with you. That's how he greeted them. V'omer, he said, Hashem Yimcha Gibra Chayel. And they said back to him, Hashem's with you, and be strong. My V'omer, what does V'omer mean? So, V'chi Tema, Boaz who David Midaito, maybe Boaz was acting on his own. Whoever said, just because Boaz said it, whoever said that was agreed upon from Shemayim. So then, Tashma, Vomer Hashem, Imcha, Gibor, Hachayim. So that second pasuk This is a malach who said this to Gidon, Rashi says. So the fact that the malach said this to Gidon was the haskama from Shemayim that you could greet people with Shem Hashem. And then the third example was Havas Maisha, the bring of Maiser Rishon to the Beis HaMikdash for the Kohanim to share with the Levim. Dichsib Haviu, Eskol Maiser El Beis HaOta. You brought the Maiser to the storage house. V'yitarif Bevesi, there was food in the house. If I don't open up for you, as Arubos Hashemayim, the different the storage units up in Shemayim, I'm going to empty it out for you with all this bracha. Ad blidai, until it's you can't say blidai. What does blidai mean? My ad blidai. Amarami barav ad shivlu sif tzalchechem milomer dai. It's so much bracha. It's coming from Shemayim. Your lips are so worn out from saying enough, enough, enough. It's too much bracha. We don't need anymore. So how do you see from this that was accepted from Shemayim? Aha. The fact that Hashem commanded them to bring Maisos to the Beis HaOtzer, a reference to the Beis HaMikdash, that was a skama to Ezra's Takana of bringing the Beis HaMikdash to the Beis HaOtzer, and that's where everything should be divided. Even though it doesn't say Levim and Kohanim here, that was the understanding. Gemara now says a similar thing. There were three times that the Ruach HaKodesh came into Beis Din. Bezin Shoshem, Bezin Shemashmuel, Haramasi, Ubezdino Shoshlomo. The Bezdino Shoshem, how do we see that Ruach HaKodesh came in that Bezdin? Dichsivayaki Yehuda Vayomer Tzad Kamimeni, that Yehuda recognized that these were really his, that Tamar was showing, whoever is, Simonim, that the person who made me pregnant. And Yehuda says, Tzad Kamimeni, she's greater than I am. Simina Yada, how do they know? Dilma Kiecha de Azal Iu Lagava, Azal Nami Inishachrina Lagava. How does Yehuda know that he's really the father of these children? Maybe just like Yehuda was with Tamar, maybe some other random guy was with Tamar as well. So the Gemara explains, Yot Sabaskov Amar Mimeni. Yehuda says, Tzadka, she's correct, but he never said Mimeni. He couldn't say Mimeni, they're really mine. He didn't know, there's no DNA testing. So when he said Tzadka, so then the Baskol came out and said, Mimeni, they added the words Mimeni into his mouth against his will, that they came from me. Yatsu Kvushim Bibes Yatsu Kvushim. They came out Kvushim. What does Kvushim mean? So Rashi explains here, if you look at... Oh yeah, see Rashi says, firstly Rashi says, Bebezin Shel Shem, Lo Hayasham, Shem Chai. Shem was not alive at that point. He would be too old to be alive. Bosa Shah, Shrei Meis, he already died at that point. Ela Beisin Shel Acharav, Mibana V'Tamidav. This was his Beis Medrash. They continued his legacy, his children, his Tamidim. It was called Beisin Shel Shem, even though he wasn't alive. No different than Karile Beisin Shel Shem, Kimo Bezdin, Kimo Beis Sham, Beis Hill. Even though Sham and Hill were no longer alive, but the students continued the legacy. That's the same idea here as well. So what does Mimimeni Yatsa Kvushim, says the Rivan? Dvarim Ne'lamim Halalu Meiti Yatsu. These Kvushim, these hidden things, came from me. Lefisha Yehuda Haya Melch, he was a king. V'hi Zachta Latzeis Mimenem Melachim, he was zochet to have kings come from him. B'toch Shaya Yisa Tznua Mibes Chameh, because Tamar was zochet because she was Tznua, Yatsa Gzera Zu Milfnei She Yatsa Zera Mishneim, Kaki B'Revi Mikara. In order to came out from me, these kvushim, these warriors, so kvushim here means, kvushim either meant hidden, ne'alamim, that were hidden, that the tzniyas of Tamar was the zocha to this, or maybe it refers to in the future, they're going to be kvushim, they're going to be warriors, that was the reference to the Gemara here. That's how we see, Bezdin Shel Shem was zocha to Ruach HaKodesh. What a Beis Dinu Shel Shmuel, says the Gemara. Dichsiv hineni anu vi neged Hashem v'neged Mashicho eshor milakachti. That they were saying they were against Hashem. They were not very happy with Shmuel and the appointment of Shaul. V'yom they said, lo shaktanu, lo tzasonu. No, we really weren't. We weren't against you guys. We weren't attacking you, Shmuel and Shaul. V'yomer eid Hashem v'eid Mashicho. And they said, Hashem's a witness, Hashem is going to tell you the truth. Ki lo matasim biyadi muma, there's nothing bad with our hands, we have nothing against you. Hashem will be the tester, will testify. So the Gemara said, Vayomer eid, Vayomer, Vayomru mibarile. Meaning, Vayomer, when the Klaisel was defending themselves that Hashem will be the aid, it should have said, Vayomru, the Klaisel in the Rabbim were all saying that Hashem will be the aid, we did nothing against you guys. So that's what they explain in the Gemara. But Yomer wasn't Klaisel explaining, it was Yotza Baskel of Amra. It was a Baskel, a heavenly voice that was coming, a Ruach HaKodesh that was coming and saying, Ani Eid B'davar Zeh. I am the witness in this event that they had nothing against Shmuel and Shel. So this is another event of a Ruach HaKodesh in Bez Dinu Shel Shmuel. B'Bez Dinu Shel Shlomo Dichsiv, the famous story of the fighting over the child, the two ladies, V'yan HaMelech V'yomer Tinula Es HaYelad HaChai, when she said, David HaMelech said, Shlomo says, let's cut the baby in half. So one woman said, no, don't do that. Just let him live and don't kill. Let that lady have the live baby. So Shlomo HaMelech understood that must have been the mother who was so compassionate for her own child. She'd rather her child live and not be in her own possession than have the child be killed. So that's his understanding. So Imo Minayada, how did he know that was the mother? It was a nice guess he had. It was very nice analysis of the situation, understanding human nature, but he didn't really know. He can't say with certainty that it was Vandai. Duma Aruma Merame. Maybe she was playing games. Maybe she understood the nature of women and knew how to trick Shlomo HaMelech. So how did he know with certainty? So it must be that Yatzas Baskel Vamra, he Imo. It wasn't Shlomo who said it. The heavenly voice came out and said, he Imo, she's the mother. So these are the three instances we have in history that that Ruach HaKodesh came and helped in a certain Bez Din. You always have to ask the question, Lo b'shamayim, we can't trust the Baskel, right? We can't trust the Navi, we can't trust Eliyahu Navi when it comes to passing Shilas. I didn't look into it, but that's a Shila that has to be addressed. So anyways, the Gemara says, Amar Rava, you know what? Yeah, the first case, okay, fine, I'm not going to get involved. Amar Rava, Rava says, Mimai, how do you know all those cases have to be understood as a Ruach HaKodesh? Dilma Yehuda, the Kevin, the Chashiv Yarchiv Yome, Visrame, the Chazinan Mechaskinan, the Lo Chazinan Lo Machaskinan. Yehuda was able to calculate how many months before he was with Tamar, and the day, and everything like that, and he knew that what he was seeing must have been him. And because right now he doesn't see anyone else, no other person, no other man coming forward, so the fact that the facts that are so clear, you could create a chazaka. And even though it's not 100% sure, but still enough evidence to have a chazaka to claim Yatsa Mimeni, it really came from me. And not Ruach HaKodesh. And Shmuel Nami, Kulo Yisrael Kari Lei B'Lashon Yachid. Just because the pasuk is Vayomer, Eid Hashem, we find all the time Am Yisrael is referred to as one Yachid, they're one unit. And when they speak, we view it as a Yachid speaking, as an entity, as opposed to Rabbim. Dichsiv Yisrael Nosha B'Hashem Shlomo, we find B'Hashem. That Klai Yisrael is saved from Hashem. It should be Nosha. Ooh, why is it Nosha? Because Am Yisrael as one nation is considered a Yachid. And that's not a Raya. And the third case, Shmuel as well, Nami, Midaha Kam Rachme, V'Halo Karach Masa. Shmuel just understood human nature. And it wasn't taking a guess. He figured out that this woman, really, who was the right true mother, would not allow her child to be killed. And he just understood human nature. And there is no Ruach HaKodesh. So there is no proof that those three cases were Ruach HaKodesh. So how does Rabbi Elazar know that they were? Ella must be Gemara. He had a tradition that Ruach HaKodesh came in and helped figure out these three different Dine Torah. Let's just do the next few lines to the top of Chav Dalad. The Gemara says, Darish Rabbi Samlai, Sheish Meos Vishalosh Esrei Mitzvos Nemrulol Moshe. There were 613 mitzvos set to Moshe Benu, Shalosh Meos Vishishim Vechamesh Lavim. There are 365 Lavim, Kiminin Yimos Acham, like the days of a solar calendar, 365 that is again, Umasayim Arbam Shmona, 248 Aseis, Keneged Evar Shodam, Keneged corresponding to the limbs of man. So Amar Rav Hamnuna, my cry, what's the source? How do you know this to be the case? Torah Tzivalan Moshe, Marasha. So the word Torah was a Torah that was given to Moshe. What's the Gematria of Torah? Torah of Gematria is Shis V'Achadisrei. It's 611. Plus, Anochi V'lo Yelecha, M'pia Gvura, Shemarim, that they heard themselves from Hashem, those two Dibros. So 611 plus 2 gives a total of 613. Okay, we'll stop here. Everyone have a wonderful day.
All right.